It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word pray to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your hostess with the mostest this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Neva Pyatt is over there running the iPad, and our guest this morning is our gorgeous sister in Christ, Miss Mary Fullerton. How are you this morning?
I'm just blessed of the Lord.
Amen.
I'm doing great.
Amen. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it by email to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Prophetic Voice Ministries, located here in Elk City, Oklahoma, y'all. I think I covered it all this morning, Miss Mary. Would you pray to start us out? And in your prayer starting us out, would you go ahead and pray for my sister's father-in-law, Robert, who is at this moment in surgery concerning his heart?
Okay.
His name is Robert Guilford.
Father, we just give you praise, Lord, for this privilege of being here, Lord. And we put this hour in your hands, Lord, and we ask you, Father, that you would cause to come forth what you want to be spoken this morning. Lord, that your anointing would be on your word, Lord, and that it would be a word of encouragement to people. Lord, and we ask you, Father, to touch Robert this morning, Robert Guilford, that's in the hospital in surgery at this very time. And they're concerned about his heart. And, Father, we just pray, Lord, that you would keep your hand on him during this surgery, Lord. They're kind of concerned about complications that could arise during surgery, Father, but we ask in the name of Jesus that you would just go forth and handle those and that there would not be any besetting complications in the name of Jesus, and that his surgery would be successful and that his recovery time would be speeded up, Lord, because of your hand upon him. In Jesus' name, we ask these things, and we give you glory and praise. Amen and amen.
Amen. I like your title this morning, How to Cast Your Cares on the Lord.
Yes. You know, we cannot get through life without, well, life just happens to all of us, you know, and it's filled. The enemy would like us to focus more on the hard stuff and he would like to take away our joy, but the Lord has made a way where we can cast everything on him. Amen. And so we're going to be talking about that this morning. So I'm going to start out with saying it's easy to find out why prayer doesn't work all the time for some people. They want you to pray the prayer of faith and get the victory for them, but they want to hold on to their cares too. And in Philippians 4:6 it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." And in the Amplified Version, It reads this way. Do not fret or have anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything by prayer and petition, which is definite request. God likes us to be specific. Mm-hmm. With thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And the next verse says, and God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So, we can find that in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And that little phrase, in everything, this does not mean that everything that happens to us is the will of God. Because the enemy, he loves to bring trials and tribulations, and those things are not that God has promised that he makes everything work together for our good. But that doesn't mean that the things themselves are, you know, according to the will of God. And so, 'cause the devil is the one who comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And that certainly is not God's will. However, when the enemy comes in and brings trouble like a flood, like when it rains, it pours, you know, and tries to overwhelm us, God wants us to raise up a standard of praise and thanksgiving to God as a standard against the enemy. Why? Because God is the greater one. And he is our victory. He already is our victory. And he is our source. And through our praise to him, we keep our eyes on him and his suffering. He is the one who is in control. And he will deliver us as we praise him. Nothing is too hard for God. And it strengthens our faith in him to praise him. And it witnesses to others that our God is victorious. It causes the answer to come faster. And I lost my place there. Causes us to come faster. The devil cannot stick around when we praise God with expectation, and we don't look at our circumstances. God inhabits the praises of his people. So when we praise God, he shows up and the devil has to flee. Because the word says, submit yourself to God. When you praise him, that shows that you're submitting to God. And resist the devil and he will flee from you. Praise shows submission and also resistance to the devil all in one, so the devil cannot stay. Praise in and in the name of Jesus causes the devil to kneel, because the word says that everything will bow at the name of Jesus. Jesus is Lord. So it is the will of God to give thanks in everything. And so, anyway, I want to give some ways of casting our cares on the Lord and remedies of worry. And the first one is trust in God. Psalms 42, verses 5 and 11 says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." And then verse 11 says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." God gives us health. He takes away, you know, the devil, he tries to bring sickness and disease, and God takes it away and gives us health. So God is always the answer. The second one is believe God's promises. Trust in God and then believe God's promises. 1 Corinthians 10:13. "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." And then the third one is accept the chastening by God. You know, sometimes things happen because God kind of wants to bring correction to us a little bit. And so Hebrews 12, 1 through 11 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receives. If ye endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye, being without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye illegitimate offspring and not true sons at all. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence or respect. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits, God himself, and live? For they verily, it's talking about our earthly parents, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he, God, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And so I want to go back and talk a little bit about that. Go back, starting with verse 1. It was talking about, in the chapter before Hebrews, it's called the faith chapter. And it just gave one example after the other from the Bible about how different people walked in faith. And so that's what it means when it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, those were clouds of witnesses, let us lay aside. Here's what we have to do. And as walking in as Christians, and we want to get closer to the Lord all the time, we have to lay aside every weight and the snares and the shortcomings that the devil would try to bring, you know, and try to attach to us and try to get us to rise up in our flesh and follow after what our flesh wants. He said, we have to lay aside those things, which does so easily come to discourage us and beset us and keep us from, and we have to clothe ourselves with the patience of the Lord. Ask the Lord, you know, to strengthen us so that we can run the race that is set before us. How do we do that? We fix our eyes on Jesus. It says, looking unto Jesus, he is the author and the finisher of our faith. God doesn't start anything that he doesn't finish. And he produces that in us. He produces faith in us. He starts us out with just a measure of faith. You know, he says, just as a grain of mustard seed. If we have faith as a grain of mustard seed, we can say unto that mountain, be thou removed. And not doubt in our heart, but be thou removed, and it'll be cast into the sea. And so, if just a little bit of faith, as size grace mustard seed, can do that, then every time we go through something, we just grow in faith and grow in faith and grow in faith. Because we find out the faithfulness of God. Amen. And how his provision is always there. And it's just like it gets us. It's like a baby, you know. They start out and all they can do there at first is just lay there and coo. You know. But then, you know, they start flexing their arms and their muscles and they start exercising and they kick it. And then the more they do, they just grow. And pretty soon they're just, you know, taking off everywhere. And so that's the way we are. And so he starts us out with a little bit, but then we grow. And it says, and then this, because we're keeping our eye on him, we follow after his example. And we consider him, it says, consider him. He said, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Now you think about that cross, you know. I mean, it wasn't an easy thing to go to the cross. Not at all. But he endured the cross. He didn't consider the shame. He put that aside. Because He endured such contradiction, lest we be wearied and faint in our mind. We think about how he endured, so it gives us grace to endure, because we follow his example. And it says, he despised the shame, and now he's set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And it said, he despised the shame, and for the joy that was set before him. And I got to thinking, what was that joy that was set before him? He knew why he was going to the cross. He went to the cross for us, so that we could have a relationship with him, so that, you know, we could come to know God. And so we are his joy that was set before him. Everybody that it says that when one sinner comes to the Lord, there's rejoicing in heaven. That's the joy that he was talking about. The joy that is set before him. Every time somebody, it was worth it for me to go to the cross, Father. It was worth it for me. We got another one, you know. And so it said, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Think about how Jesus suffered. And it'll give us the determination, you know. Because we're looking into him. And it says, have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as children? My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Now I want you to think about Jesus. He went to the cross, and he hadn't done anything. He hadn't committed any sin. He always did those things that pleased his Father. In fact, going to the cross was the ultimate in pleasing his Father. He came down here knowing what his assignment was. And he lived his life knowing what his assignment was. And so, anyway, and it says, it speaks to us that our children despise not the chastening of the Lord. See, he was chastened for us. He was chastened, and he did not faint. And so we cannot faint either, because we look to him as the author and finisher of our faith. And sometimes when he chastens us, we deserve it, you know, because we have kind of gotten out of line a little bit. And you think about your own kids. It talks about this a little later. When you're a parent and you have a child, that child can bring joy to your heart. But then every once in a while, they're just like everybody else. You know, they get a little bit angry. And you warn them, and if they take your warning, okay. But sometimes they don't. And for their good, you chasten them. You know, now that don't mean you beat them half to death. But there's all kinds of chastening. There's all kinds of chastening. And there is a verse in the Bible that says, there's one that says something about spare not the rod, you know, and spoil the child. Yeah. And so you don't want to not chasten, because if you chasten them, that means you love them. So when God chastens us, it means he loves us. He doesn't want us to keep going in that wrong direction. He wants us to get back close to him. And he wants us to to be a praise and glory to his name. And so it says, if you were not chastened by God, it would be like you were an illegitimate child. You know. And so, because a true son, that parent is gonna chasten them. Because they're, have you ever heard, this just came into my mind, have you ever heard a parent say, no son of mine is going to act like that?
Those are famous words, aren't they?
No son of mine. I mean, I'm your father. You're supposed to act like me, you know. Take the example I set before you. You know, you're bringing shame to my name. And I'm not going to let you do that. Why? Because I don't want you continuing down this road. I don't want you going to jail someday. I don't want you getting in a fight with somebody and somebody shoots you. You know, they're looking out for your good.
Yeah. You know, Angel, my grandson, he's kind of off of punishment. So he got grounded. His mom got him a phone. She's out in Muskogee at rehab, praise the Lord. And so she got him and her a phone so that they can communicate. So when she gave him the phone, I'm like, okay, I will allow that. However, here's the rules.
Mm-hmm.
You want this phone. Here's the rules for the phone.
Right.
My number and your mom's number are the only numbers that you're allowed to text.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other numbers. It's mine and his mama's.
Mm-hmm.
Second rule. No YouTubing.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
Period. You're not allowed to, you know, if you want to search biggest bag of chips, biggest spider and all that, I'm okay with you doing that. But don't you get on there and start watching these ugly videos and whatnot. That's against the rules. If I catch you doing that, you lose that phone, grandson.
Mm-hmm.
Well, recently, he got caught YouTubing something, stuff that he's not allowed to.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, why are you doing that? And then he says, well, a girl at school told me about it. I said, I don't care. I don't care what anybody tells you about anything. You knew the rules when you got that phone, and you broke the rules. Give me the phone.
Mm-hmm.
You no longer have a phone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the end of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
You can't follow the rules of the phone. You don't get the phone, grandson.
Yeah. You know, and that's good for them because they find that you mean what you say. If you were to vacillate, they couldn't tell. But if you always do what you say, they're going to know.
Yeah,
I can't do this, you know. Yeah. And it'll cut down, you know. Yeah. I mean, I can't do this because I lose my privileges. And
he tries, you know, like the other day he's like, Grandma, can I use my phone to text my mom goodnight? You don't have a phone. You may use my phone to call your mom.
Mm-hmm.
But anything else, it's a no, son. It's a no, grandson. You lost that privilege. That is a privilege
I don't owe you no phone, and your mama don't owe you no phone. She allowed you to have a phone so that you could communicate with her. You broke the rules. Now you don't have a phone.
So, and they have, it's better. And see, that's the way God's word is. He tells us in his word how to please him. And he tells us the things that don't please him. And he means what he says. And he tells you beforehand what's going to happen if you do what he doesn't want you to do. He'll tell you right up front, this is the consequences. And so we are without excuse. We are without excuse.
And you know, I had some hints that he wasn't following the rules due to behavioral changes in him. He started, his attitude kind of changed. Like talking back and just copping a toad, you know? And I'm like, wait a minute. That's not like you. So he's going to the bathroom. He comes out of his room to go to the bathroom, and I get up and I'm headed to his room. And on my way to his room, I say, Angel, what are you searching on your phone? Boy, he didn't make it to the bathroom. He turned around, lickety split, and was right behind me. So I grabbed his phone and I went to history, and I was like, grandson, what is this? This is against the rules and you know it. And then Angel, he's nine, y'all. He's only nine. He begins to get really, how do you say, not argumentative, but yeah. And then I asked him straight. I straight asked him, why are you watching this? And he grabs his hair and he looks at me and he says, I'm just addicted. And I said, no, sir. That's a load. That's a lie. That's a no. You, no. No. We're done with all electronics. Until you're mature enough to handle this phone and follow the rules that come along with having a phone. You don't have free reign on that phone. And I will be checking the history on your phone.
And so, anyway, God is just like our parents when you know, and he has to be that way. Because if he did not keep his word, we could not trust him. We want to trust God, and we want him to fulfill all of his promises to us. You know, the good things, but we don't want him to fulfill his, quote, what we consider his bad promises to us. And by that, what I mean is his, like you say, restrictions, you know. just like you told your grandson, if you do this, you know, then this is the consequences, and you don't get your privileges anymore. And God has to be the same way, because if he did not honor his word and correct us, then we would not really know if he was going to perform what he said or not.
Right.
You know. And
if I didn't do what I said I was going to do when he got that phone, that would have made me a liar.
Mm-hmm. And God's not a liar.
And he would not be able to trust me. And he wouldn't, well, she says this, but hey, she did this over here.
Yeah.
And that's the way. So I can just do it anyway.
That's the way it is with us and God. Mm-hmm. God is not a liar. He's not a liar. Amen. And if he makes us a promise that if you get out of line here, you're going to go through a lot of heartache. You're going to go through a lot of trouble. And if you don't mend your ways, the end is going to, you're going to be the cause of your soul going to hell. Now, that's pretty bad consequences.
Yeah, those are kind of.
But, you know, I love you enough so that if you get off center, I'm going to do something. I'm going to put up a roadblock as many times as I can to turn you around to go in the right direction so you can spend eternity with me.
Amen. Isn't now a good time for prayers?
Yeah.